All right, this is the pre-bid conference for DA00283, the shoreline stabilization and slope shoulder reconstruction on Warner Lilly Road here in Currituck County. Before I forget it, everybody should have gotten a copy of the general permit conditions that were passed around. We do not have the actual permit yet, but do not anticipate anything different than the conditions that you were given today. On the cover, you will note that a 5% bid bond or bid deposit will be required when you submit your bid. Okay, turn over to page 6. It references a mandatory pre-bid conference and proposal review. That is what's occurring today. Note the conditions at the bottom of the page that you must have at least one individual from the firm planning to bid sign in on the official roster at the beginning of the conference. Write in the name and address of the company. You can only represent one company by your attendance today. The individual signing must be an officer or permanent employee of the firm that you're representing, and then there's a place for you to sign out at the end of the conference, because everybody needs to stay until the end to be eligible to bid. The contract time for this project on page 7, the date of availability is January 11th, 2016. Can you believe 2015 is gone? We're sitting on January 11th with the availability, completion of March 26th, and $500 a day liquidated damages. Under ICT number 1, you will note that all work will be performed between sunrise and sunset, so no work between sunset and sunrise. I will point out a correction. It references a temporary road closure. That does not apply. We will not be closing the road. Lane closure, yes. Road closure, no. That was a carryover, evidently, from another project. On page 9, you will note there is a fuel price adjustment included. The base price index for number 2 diesel fuel is $1.50, $1.065 per gallon for the applicable items in the contract. I think bar would be the only thing that applies to. The DBE goal for this project is 0%. Would ask that you do still complete the DBE listing form over on page 90 and show either zero or none or any participation that you have. We still encourage participation even though the goal is zero. All right, moving over now to page 27. I'm going to turn it over to Randy and Jim and let them talk about the scope of work and kind of the meat of the contract.
All right, yeah, I'm Randy Midget. For those of you I hadn't met, I'm a district engineer in Elizabeth City. I'm going to go over these roadway special provisions kind of briefly. Under the scope of work, I'll just read it. The contract serves the means to place riprap along the shoreline outlined within the plans. There is some debris at the bottom of the slope, and we want that debris between the bottom of the slope and the high water line removed prior to placement of riprap. We don't want the crap that's out there just buried in the field slope. Method of placements be done in a way that minimizes the impact on the slope and trees along the slope. There are some areas where there are trees out there. Granted, we understand that depending on the type of equipment you've got to use, they may affect your swing radius. We'd like to trim them if we can. If not, on a case-by-case basis, and it's in here a little further down, we may approve removal of some of those trees. But as you all know, that we think those trees and their root systems help stabilize those banks, and so we want to try to minimize that as much as possible. We're looking for a Class 2 riprap, clean of foreign debris. And we're hoping that the contractor would make every effort not to damage the existing pavement structure. There is a token amount of pavement repair in this contract. Currently, there's no place identified for that pavement repair. If you've gone out there and looked, or at least last time I was there, You know, we hadn't lost any of the shoulder to the point that we've lost pavement. We put an amount in there just in case we needed it through the course of the work of the project, but that doesn't mean we want to be running, you know, heavy track equipment up and down the road and tearing it up and under the idea that we're going to just repave it later. The next item, slope and shoulder fill slope material. I think that's just our normal bar spec. Moving on, bar excavation. We will pay bar by truck measurement unless contractor has a bar source that's better suited for cross sections. In that case, we'll review that as the time comes. The asphalt super pave, all this is in again as incidental to the fact that we've got that amount of of asphalt pavement repair. I won't go through all the QMS specifications. On page 43, the removal of existing structures. On site D, there is a pier that we're trying to place around. It has some pretty dilapidated stringers and steps going down. The homeowner there has agreed to allow us to take those stringers off, but they have asked that if we could leave the pile and try not to damage the pile as much as we can, because eventually the owner plans on rebuilding steps down to that pier. As they are now, they're in pretty bad shape. So there's a lump sum item for removal of that walkway going down at site D. The next, the generic grading item, shoulders and slope protection, that's a little bit different special provision than what we normally do, and we try to write it based on the fact that this situation is a little bit different in that most of these sites have existing shoreline protection that's been installed either on one side or both sides, and what's washed out is the gap in between or washed out around the end. If you look at our plans, there's not a set typical section, you know, where it's just 2:1 and X number of feet from edge pavement. What we plan on doing is trying to restore essentially the existing slope and the existing toe of slope that's out there on either side of where these damage areas occur. So that's why you're not seeing cross sections and set plans. We're just going to have to go out there and kind of stake it in the field as we go. With that being said, we made this item by the acre to just cover the face area of the slope that you were going to have to build. We would like the top 6 inches of the slope placed with some barrow that will be capable of supporting vegetation, so that we can try to get some grass growing on it. So the grading of those shoulders will be measured by the acre, by the length and width down the slope face, not a horizontal acre. The barrow will be paid by the cubic yard truck measurement, if that's what we end up doing. Seed and mulching by the acre. On top of that, I think we also included matting for erosion control, figuring that it would probably best mat these slopes once we get them built in. Erosion control, stormwater specs are normal. One thing you'll notice, we don't have any erosion control at the bottom of the fill on this. Our intent was that we think, well, the only really way we see doing it, and if you try to do it differently, then we may have to change, is to place that stone at the bottom of the fill. We don't have to have turbidity curtain as long as we're placing clean stone at the bottom of the fill, and we'll vet. And then wrap that, we're placing fabric, we'll wrap the fabric back up on the stone and then place the fill slope. That stone berm and filter fabric at the bottom should suffice without having to do erosion control at the bottom of the slope. But we're going to have to be very mindful that we're not just pushing debris into the water. If we are, we're going to have to either revise your operations, or we're going to have to provide some either turbidity curtain or silt fence out there.
And the stone can go a maximum of 10 feet out into the water.
Maximum 10 feet from where the slope was beforehand.
Randy, that grading of that slope, you don't see grading the right in the order to put that stone?
No.
You know, the way it's drawn here, as you said, no slope or whatever given, but I imagine it's not on the slope like that. It's a sheer wall the way it's washed. Now, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so in a lot of places.
Are we going to have to build that and make that a slope before we put that riprap, or are we going to build that slope out of riprap? You know what I'm saying about that? I imagine it is.
Kind of follow-up to that is, you know, if you're going to have to do grading before you place the riprap, are you going to pay for that in the acreage, or is that, you know, incidental to the riprap?
I'm thinking that is probably cut in like that right there, that it's probably not on that slope right there, that it's probably eat under.
Yeah, I think we're going to, and now Paul's not here, but my envision from time with CAMA would be that they're going to establish where that rock line's to be, and we would place the rock at that stake line. And then once you get your rock placed and your fabric on top of it, you could then backfill it.
In that case, instead of this detail where you've got that slope coming down an intersection, it would be a pyramid of rock out there, and then we backfill down to it.
Okay. You don't fill the void.
Yes.
Yeah. 10 foot out back to the slope
with rock. Yeah. Right. We don't have to fill that in with dirt first and then put that. That's the problem.
No.
Okay. And Paul had indicated he would help establish that line 10 feet out from.
They will actually stake that prior. Paul Williams.
He's the DOT CAMA guy.
He works along with Clay, but he and Clay will actually stake that prior to construction.
So you see the riprap going on the existing grade, pretty much whatever.
Regardless.
Cleaning whatever debris might be there, placing the rock, and starting on any grade.
Yes. And there's spots where I pictured a stone, maybe not necessarily following edge of waterline. It may actually go straight. And like he said, you build a pyramid, and there may be open water behind there, but once you fold that fabric up over top of it, then you would backfill and work your slope back up. So there's spots where it's going to be right along the waterline column, and then there's going to be spots where it's just going to be a straight line, because they allow to try and make it straight. Canvas. Get your shoreline back.
Going back to the roadway special provisions, I think that may have gotten through most of them. Once we get past erosion monitoring, bar monitoring, we've got our normal, it's lump sum traffic control job. Depending on how much equipment you're going to have to get out there. I mean, you know, this is a one-way in, one-way out situation. We're going to have to try to maintain a lane or a way for traffic to get around us. Luckily, it's not a very high volume of traffic, but
you're gonna have school buses, and it's not the widest roads.
So we all have to try to work together in order to maintain, you know, maintain at least one lane of traffic through the job and while you're working, and you know, be able to have enough room for you guys to work as well.
Randy, one thing I'll point out on page 51, you do have the provision for shoulder and slope bar. This will be your top 6 inches you referred to earlier.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I about skipped over that. Okay. Yeah, that 51's got the shoulder and slope bar special provision. That'll cover that top 6 inches. The rest of the field can be just general bar. One thing you'll note, this job, because it is a disaster, or not disaster, but a storm emergency repair, we'll be putting in to the federal government for some reimbursement on this. So the federal special provisions are in this contract. We've had a discussion here just now about the requirement for certified payrolls. We will provide a little bit more documentation on that, whether or not certified payrolls will be required on this job.
And if you deem the certified payrolls required, you're going to include the Davis-Bacon wage rate?
They're in there. The contract already has the Davis-Bacon wage rates in here. I've got a call in right now in the Federal Highways about how we read this on page 76, is if this job is considered a local minor collector road, that we could waive the requirements for certified payrolls, and that's what we're trying to find out.
Okay, thank you, Randy. Quickly hitting a few other administrative type items. On page 60, at the bottom of the page, you will note that you must be a pre-qualified bidder or PO prime contractor prior to submitting a bid. So I know most of you are looking at the sign-in sheet. There's a couple of you that I'm not familiar with, but just be sure that you are pre-qualified with the department prior to submitting your bid. We already mentioned the DB listing form on page 90. Beginning on page 91, for the next several pages, you find the execution of bid, non-collusion affidavit, debarment certification, gift band certification forms. Please identify the form that corresponds to the way your company is organized and fill out that form in its entirety, including the inclusion of your corporate seal. If you don't have a seal, you can draw one, writing in your company name there. Make sure that you have a different individual signing the, I'm looking at the corporate one for a corporation, but signing is the officer, the attesting that signature, and the notary. They all have to be different individuals. On page 100, you find the bid form, several lump sum items, several with actual quantities listed there. For the lump sum items, you do not have to list a unit cost. You just want to show your lump sum bid amount in the amount column. For the other items that include actual quantities, please include a unit price. Multiply that by the quantity to determine the amount bid for that item. In the event of an error in the extension of your unit bid times your quantity, the unit bid price will govern. And then sum your total bid at the bottom of page 100 under total amount bid for entire project. If we have any addendums during the advertisement period, we will post those and send those to the email addresses that are listed on this form. Please be sure to acknowledge any addendums on page 101 of your bid. And then the bid bond forms, should you go that route, are included following that. Does anybody have any questions about anything we've discussed so far?
Randy, not being familiar with the class two riprap spec, the special provision says it must be class two and at least 2 foot or larger. Is that the class two spec, or we got to sort through?
It's on the larger side.
You know what I'm saying?
It's on the larger side of the class two, but if it comes from the quarry as class two, we'll be.
The biggest thing is the bigger rock.
We like
to be taking the impact of the wave action. If there's some smaller pieces, put them in the backside, but the big stuff. Otherwise, it's going to end up getting pulled out, and it'll be somewhere out in the middle of the sound. Yeah. I know when maintenance has done this in years past, the small rock don't make. We're right back at it in spots. So that's why they've been going to the big rock and all the.
If I could direct your attention for just a minute back to page 4. I should have covered this right at the very beginning. Page 4 is the instructions to bidders. Please be sure to read and follow these instructions in their entirety. A couple things I'll point out. You will need to return your entire proposal along with your bid. You don't have to return the plans, but return the entire proposal document.
Include a unit price for every item, as we just discussed. Accept the lump sum items, just an amount bid for those is fine. If you do have to make a change, you make a mistake, you have to make a correction, do not use correction fluid or correction tape or anything like that. Strike through it and initial it and write the correct entry adjacent to that in ink. The proposals will be returned to the division office in Edenton, 113 Airport Drive in Edenton. That's shown in item 10. And please be sure to include your bid in a sealed envelope with the statement under number 11 noted on that envelope so it doesn't get opened early. Any other questions or concerns?
All the landowners along there on board with this, any naysayers?
By CAMA rules, they all have to sign on. So he's getting a permit, and he could have actually had the emergency permit already, but the emergency permit only allows for 30 days of work, and the contract actually allows for more than that. So that's why, instead of waiting to the day that somebody was awarded the contract to start with getting it, he is actually getting a general permit, which allows a little more time. So all the property owners are good.
Yeah, we've already had all the notifications. We don't have them.
And I think that's
if I
lived
across the street, I'd be damn happy that somebody was.
Oh, I know. You know how you got so much work.
And I think that's why one of the plans were revised a little bit too. If there's a revision to one of the sheets,
there's one that you'll see that we extended a little bit.
And I think that had to do something with that.
That was to make somebody happy.
We are available to go out on site if y'all want us to go as a group. If we go, then everybody has to go. If you want to go on your own, you can do that as well. But if we go as part of the conference, everybody has to go, so everybody has the benefit of any questions that are asked out on site. So I'll let you decide what you want to do.
Personally, I bet I'm very windy as shit on that water.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
All right, well, what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I want to go.
I figured you had to
go. It's that guy.
I'll do it.
All right, well, we appreciate you guys coming today. If I could, make sure you sign out. Noting that you stayed to the end of the conference, and we look forward to receiving your bid on the 16th.
Does any place, anywhere around, did you stockpile stuff? The rock and all?
Stockpile location.
In the past, I'll be honest with you, it's when it has been done, the only place that has been used for stockpile is this yard, and that was just because we were trying to get enough material at the time. There's never been a spot out there for DOT maintenance to ever actually have materials delivered to start the job.
Yeah, I don't.
So
we don't have anything identified or own anything that I know of, unless we've got.
I mean, we don't.
I was trying to think if we had a remnant at the where the old bridge is there at Coin Job, but I don't know that that's the one that we've already abandoned part of it.
That's what I was looking at when we went in there, right down by the old bridge.
I know we have abandoned, when you go down that ridge, that little spur that turns off where the old bridge was, you'll see a pavement change, mm-hmm. and where that pavement goes to Not doesn't look like it's maintained. That is not ours. That we've abandoned that. That goes back, that has gone back to the landowner. We do have the right of way there in where the Y is. I don't know I'm not sure how much there is there to be able to stockpile. I know we've stockpiled there in past paving projects.
I
think we're done. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.